This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
And this is Doug Pollard bringing it to you. Now, we're hurtling towards both a federal and a state election. So, of course, everyone's beginning to get their ducks in a row, so to speak. And one of the first people out the blocks regarding the state election was the Victorian Council of Social Services. They've released their 2010 state election platform, and their acting CEO, Carolyn Atkins, joins us on the line now. Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning, Doug.
So why have you released an election platform? You're not actually standing for election, are you?
No, Victorian Council of Social Service is the peak body for community sector organisations in Victoria, and we work to represent and protect the interests of low-income and vulnerable Victorians. So we've released a state election platform to call on the parties to address key social justice issues in the upcoming state election.
So what do you see as the principal issue that you need to have tackled?
VCOS has outlined in its state election platform that the parties need to focus on the cause of issues facing the community, not on the consequences.
Right.
By that we mean that we need to address the issues behind why people are in poverty, why people are experiencing disadvantage, and why we might be seeing issues around crime in Victoria. To do that, we need the parties to be putting supports and structures in place so that families needing parenting supports don't sit on waiting lists until problems reach crisis point, or people with mental health problems get the care they need when they need it rather than waiting until things reach crisis point.
In other words, you want the structural issues tackled. We don't need more band-aids. We basically need fundamental changes.
Absolutely, Doug. We don't need the continuing focus on putting the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff, which too often happens across a whole range of issues. Mm. And what we're calling for has been supported by a poll that we had, which results came out yesterday, that showed in the area of housing, 8 out of 10 Victorians believe that low-income households who are being forced to pay more than half their income on rent should be able to access public housing within a year rather than the 7 to 12 years that they currently have to wait.
And the base problem of that is that the state government is not building public housing?
Yes, one of the key problems is that we don't have enough houses for people. And the other key thing that the state government could be doing is requiring any new housing development to include a percentage of affordable housing within that development, so that where we do have houses being built by the private sector, we require that a percentage of that housing be affordable housing.
Right, because the government has more or less got out of the housing business in a sense, hasn't it? I mean, they haven't built anything for quite a long time.
The Victorian government has done a range of positive things over the last couple of years. However, these effectively have only scratched the surface. We currently need 29,000 additional affordable housing properties over the next term of government to ease the...
Whoa, that's an awful lot.
It is an awful lot, but through the state government increasing capital investment with support from the federal government, and also requiring any private developments to include a percentage of affordable properties, we believe that that can be achieved over the next 4 years.
And of course, that's one of the root causes of a lot of problems, isn't it? Because if you don't have decent housing, if it's not safe, if it's not clean, if it's not not a good place to live, that's going to give you worse outcomes on health and a number of other things. So you tackle that and you actually solve a lot of other problems as well.
Most definitely. The research points that if people have safe, secure housing, you can reduce mental health problems, reduce drug and alcohol, reduce family violence, and reduce child protection notifications. So it's all about putting that foundation in so that families and communities have a safe place to live.
And obviously, another issue that is of great importance, and we've covered at length on this program from many different angles, is the enormous gap in mental health services. I mean, this is an issue that's going to play out not just in the state election, but I think in the federal election too. We just don't have enough mental health services, and we don't have them in the right place at the right time.
No, we don't. There are serious gaps in mental health services right across Victoria.
Particularly for young people, I understand.
Very particularly for young people. Too often, young people who are experiencing mental health difficulty or problem are not able to get access to the support at the right time, which means that their problem escalates until they're at a sort of a more crisis point, and that requires more intensive services and more longer-term supports. The research shows that if we put that investment in up front so that young people, wherever they live, whether it be in outer metropolitan Melbourne or in rural and regional areas, are able to get timely access to those mental health supports, it can make such a big difference in their lives.
Indeed. And that also leads on to another topic you raised, which is the question of public transport. I live in Eltham. We have a single track rail line, and that's about it. And if you live any further beyond that, there's almost no public transport except some rather unreliable buses. Do you think there's much chance of getting improved public transport in the outer suburbs?
VCOS believes it's absolutely critical that we get improved public transport in the outer suburbs. We know that a lack of public transport means that a person isn't able to get to their employment, isn't able to maintain their contacts with their friends, and isn't able to get access to the services that they need. So putting those expanded public transport services in outer metropolitan areas is absolutely critical if we're going to achieve those other things that we're all wanting to.
Yeah, and I notice you're calling for an expanded bus network. Is that because the bus, it's quicker to put a bus network in place? Because, you know, my take on things is that we basically need to massively expand the rail and the tram network.
There is a need to expand rail and tram networks. That can require very, very significant capital investment, and VCOS believes that in the short term, if we can expand the bus network, that will provide people with very immediate public transport, which they otherwise may have to wait 10 years for.
Right. So it's a question of plugging the gap now and then working on the longer term things thereafter.
Yes, most definitely. And also buses can provide more flexibility in that you can alter the route if it's identified that going this way north rather than sort of going down further south, for example, will provide a better service. So that flexibility is quite important.
Have you had any response from any of the parties to your platform yet?
Yes, we have. 2 weekends ago, the Victorian State Labor Party announced that they would commit to fund the pay equity outcomes for community sector organisations in Victoria so as to protect the delivery of community services into the future. And we also welcomed the state opposition announcing that it would also fully fund pay equity outcomes. So that's been very positive. We are still waiting on policies across the other areas, particularly housing, supports for vulnerable children, chronic disease and mental health, and also public transport. But we look to the parties that if they're serious about improving outcomes for our communities, that they focus on the cause and not the consequences.
Yeah. And you had a very positive announcement from Tony Abbott about mental health yesterday, which must have cheered you.
Yes, an announcement by the federal opposition leader was very welcomed, and those services will be absolutely critical. VCOS is concerned that within any health reforms, they must include mental health, and we can't be cutting services from one part of the system to increase supports in another. It's about an integrated whole of health response, and that includes mental health within that.
Yep, because it's always been the Cinderella up to now. Well, thanks very much for joining us this morning, Carolyn. Best of luck, keep campaigning, and if you can get decent promises out of both sides, then perhaps we'll get something actually happening.
We'll certainly be working on that.
All right, thanks for your time this morning, Carolyn.
Thank you.
That was Carolyn Atkins, the acting CEO of the Victorian Council on Social Services. We've said before on this programme many times over with Chris Tanti from Headspace, with Rob Mitchell from the RJM Trust, with Anne Mitchell from Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria, various other people. There is an enormous gap when it comes to mental health. I know these other issues are important, but mental health services really do need money thrown at them, and it's the one big gap that was in Kevin Rudd's big health solution. So let's hope Ms. Gillard is a bit more sensitive towards the needs of mental health than she is towards the demand for gay marriage, if what we're hearing from her lately is true.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.